5 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks for being with us here. On our First Advantage Hotline, always love talking to this guy. Big game coming up. Well, tomorrow morning, it'll be right here on 1310 KFKA as UNC gets set to take on Sacramento State in the first round of the Big Sky Conference tournament. Coach Steve Smiley, Coach, always a pleasure to get you on the program.
You bet, Brady. Pleasure to be here and excited about the, I think, the earliest game in the country tomorrow. if I'm reading the old ticker right, that 9 a.m. tip, there's not another game until 11 a.m., so the early bird.
Wow.
That's going to be the deal tomorrow.
Yeah, I knew it was early. I didn't know it was going to be the earliest. But, well, Coach, how much – I know we talked about this in our Zoom conference last night, which was awesome, with the Round Ball Club. But how much does that affect you guys? And I guess that's a weird question because you guys have been throwing everything this year.
Well, I think, you know, we're trying to sell it as a you know, competitive advantage, just in the sense of we're the only team in the country outside of Montana who we played. Earlier this year, we're the only team to have a 9 a.m. game, I think, in the country. I think, you know, when we played Montana at Montana in really early January on that really weird Monday morning game, that was a 9 a.m. tip, and that was the earliest tip in the country, I think, all year. So, you know, just selling that to our guys, like, hey, you know, we've done this before. We've had the routine down. It's weird because usually, you know, you want to have a team meal about 4 hours before the game. Well, you're not going to get your guys up at 5 in the morning to eat. So, you got to kind of modify your schedule and figure out what's the happy medium. But I think our guys, you know, at least, you know, being through that before, that hey, let's do it. We've done it before. Let's get after it.
Yeah, and we're certainly looking forward to it. Another weird weekend, though, going back even to the regular season, you guys have been used to this with Weber State. You get that first game, and that was a battle. And that's a – how many times, Coach, I don't even know how many times the Bears have won in Weber State. Not very often.
Once.
Yeah.
Once. Last year was the first time in school history.
Yeah.
On a last second shot that we hit. Ty Edwards made a shot at the buzzer to beat him. First time in school history. So, yeah, man, painful. I mean, obviously the way that thing went down, and that was as good of a college basketball game as you're going to see, especially just, you know, both teams competing so hard on that defensive end of the floor. It's hard for either one of us to score. Keeping them in the 50s, and they're probably, you know, the best or second best or whatever, you know, offense in our league. They're right there. There's not many teams better, and their talent level's really high. So, did a great job, and, you know, have a 2-point lead, and their best player was able to get to the rim and get fouled and made two free throws, which forced us to have that shot with 9 seconds left, and we got the last shot, and we just kind of had one of those moments where fouled after that shot, which was a tough way to finish it, obviously. But, I think, you know, going into that game, it was the first time in 10 games that we actually had our full roster available to us. That's what's so exciting about the tournament. Like, okay, you know, we finally got, you know, all the bullets back in the gun and got the whole team back. And I thought we went toe-to-toe with, you know, as good of a team in our league. You know, whether they're 1, 2, 3, they're three really, really good teams in our league. And we don't want to be the moral victory team, but we felt great about how we performed in that game, and I think it is a springboard into going into this game tomorrow.
Yeah, and like we've talked about several times, I mean, you only had a handful of games after the break, after the other COVID stall for you guys, and you've had you know whether it's you guys or other teams, which again throughout the country doesn't matter on what team you are, you're going to experience it at some point in time. You guys only had a handful of games after that, but an important series, or I guess the game against Weber State. I mean, you lose the game, but I know, Coach, you said you had the shots, you were developing. Do you feel like your guys are at this point where you want them to be right now heading into this tournament?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, just even going into the tournament, you know, can't get caught up in seeding and things like that. I mean, we've had some moments this year where 2 or 3 plays here or there and it'd be a different story, which everyone's got that. But, you know, you also, what's hard to see from the outside in the seeding part of this is that not everyone, no one played a full 20 games. So some teams played 18, 16, 14 games. And, you know, who you played and who you didn't play, that can factor into your seeding as well. So, you know, just kind of getting it, looking at the bracket and say, okay, you know, one game at a time, but we got to find a way to beat a good Sacramento State team and just move from there. But I do feel good about where we're at. Just, you know, the vibe of the team, I think we've got a, you know, collective confidence. You know, within our group that we can get out and get this done one game at a time and just try to stretch your season by one more day.
Oh, and you look at these players, like you said, getting this roster back. I mean, it's kind of working out, you know, where everything's kind of piecing together. You get a few of those games back under your belt. You're getting this roster where you want it to be. But talk about, Coach, some of the growth you've seen with some of these players, even in such a strange year, especially these last four games. I mean, we talk about Kourajo Kuch. We talk about, Matt Johnson's been really sensational throughout the course of the season. Bodie's very reliable for you guys. Dalen Kuntz, the transfer, of course, from CU. I mean, the growth that you're seeing with these guys, and especially at the tail end, I mean, you got to be pleased with that portion.
Yeah, you know, those four guys, you know, Matt's been steady as a rock. But even earlier in the year, you know, Matt wasn't as productive. That was, you know, us kind of figuring out the best way to get him to where he could be productive. And that was, a pretty big move to move him from the point guard to the two guard. And I think that really kind of loosened him up and unlocked him to do some things scoring-wise that have just been huge for our team. Dalen's been tremendous. You know, I think Dalen coming in, and it's Dalen's got two or three more levels to go in terms of production, you know, in the grand scheme of his career with us. But he's got so much better, so much more comfortable, confident. It's hard to come in as a transfer, not have a summertime, and just get kind of thrown in the mix, try to figure out. That's not easy to do, especially when the expectations of him are very high. He's done tremendous. Coors, you know, his development's been one that he's not fouling as much anymore. He's done a great job on that defense, been, you know, not eliminating himself from the game, as we say. And then just playing really slow in the post. And then two, like, you know, he's shooting almost 70% from the free throw line now. And he's a guy that historically has been probably below 50. And it's amazing where you if you just keep yourself in the game and you shoot your free throws at a higher clip, his production has just skyrocketed from where it was, you know, early in the season. And then Bodie, I think the thing that gets with Bodie, it's like, you know, obviously there's some things that he can look at statistically and say, okay, you know, his free throws have been, you know, really off this year. I think that's kind of a blip on the radar for his big picture. You know, we ask him to hit tough shots, and so some of his percentages are probably a little bit lower than people would assume, but he's got the ball in his hands a lot at the end of a shot clock. But what people don't understand with Bodie is that he leads us in blocks. He leads us in steals. He's our second leading rebounder. And people forget about that. And I think, you know, his growth as an all-around player, defensively, rebounding-wise, being able to switch a ball screen and guard a good guard, he's done a tremendous job of that. So definitely want to highlight that. And just other guys, you know, Trey Smoots has developed so much this year. You know, he was shut down for a long time with all the protocols. Bryce Kennedy, who is now in the starting lineup, that he finally started, you know, really kind of asserting a role, and then he got shut down for 14 days of protocols. Jamel Melvin, the same, you know, just so the protocol stuff is just, it's affected everybody, but I do think that, you know, starting to figure out kind of some of these roles on the roster has been really good for us.
Coach, I think that's a great point about Bodie, too. I know individually he had some big goals, or he wanted to be, you know, as far as a certain point total goes, or average, as far as that goes, but there is a lot to be said. You know, I look at some of these great players around the country and guys that were projected to score anywhere from the 15 to 18 points per game. They're not quite there, but the other stats are there. The defensive side of the ball is there, and I think that goes to your point.
Well, and, you know, even with Bodie, like if you just play the old math game a little bit and, you know, you take his free throws from where it's, you know, below 50, which sounds crazy, but it is. You take his free throws to, you know, 75, which is not, you know, unrealistic for Bodie. He should be in the 70s, and he'll get back to that. But take his free throws to that, move his three-point percentage up just a few percent. And I think part of that is just, you know, the stop and go that he's been in and out a little bit. But just that right there, and he's playing at about, you know, a 16 to 18 point per game. But, you know, again, you are what your stats say you are a little bit. But, what can't be, you know, misunderstood is what he's doing when the ball's not in his hands. And that's been tremendous for him. So he's still got, you know, in the grand scheme of things, some growth with his goals that he's going to get to because he works so hard at it. But all the stuff outside of the ball is something that I've been really proud of him for that.
We're talking to UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley, getting set to take on Sacramento State tomorrow morning. Pre-game coverage at 8:30, 9 o'clock tip-off there here on 1310 KFK and 1310KFK.com. Coach, tell us a little bit about Sac State. You don't have to give us the entire breakdown. We don't want to steal your notes, but I thoroughly enjoyed these, and I let my listeners know about these round ball get-togethers that we do. So insightful, breaking down some of the film. Not enough for us to be dangerous with it, but enough for us to learn a little bit more about what you guys are seeing.
Yeah, you know, I think Sac State, they're a good team. They're not just a dangerous team. No, they're dangerous. No, they're a good team. I think it's a pretty balanced game on both sides of it. You know, they don't score a ton, but that's because their pace is really slow. It's not that they can't score. They prefer to play at a really slow tempo. Best player, Ethan Esposito, second team all league guy. I think he's the second leading scorer in the league. And he's really unorthodox because he's basically their 5-man. Sure, he can play a 5 or a 4, but, you know, a lot of times he's their point guard. So they're going to put you in some goofy binds with him bringing the ball down the floor. They're going to set ball screens with their guards. And if you just switch them, now you've got major mismatch problems. So they're going to put us in some binds that we haven't seen. And really, just we haven't played these guys this year. And the crazy thing about the Big Sky Tournament is that all four of the games that are predetermined matchup-wise, there's not a single game. I think, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure, there's not a single game in those four that the team's played the other team in the regular season, which is just crazy. You should have played them twice. So we're trying to figure this out on the fly like all the teams. But, you know, he's good. Bryce Fowler, he's been in the program for 4 years, another Big Sky all-league guy, tough matchup, big physical wing that can play anywhere from 1 to 4. And I think that, you know, a guy like the William Fitzpatrick who can really shoot it, you know, if he gets loose for threes, that becomes a real problem. So I think in the big picture, people are going to see a very slow-paced game. Like, you know, we'll try to speed them up, but, you know, we don't press and do things like that. So we're not going to change who we are. We just need to do what we do at a high level. And then defensively, they play really hard. They mix it up a little bit. Sometimes they'll switch. Sometimes they'll you know, do different things on ball screens. So we just got to do what we do and try to do it at the highest level that we can.
Yeah, Coach, we're pumped up to see this one. Like I said, we'll be checking in the morning, and we'll be sure to recap everything tomorrow afternoon. Cannot wait for this one. I know it's been a long time to get to this point, but hey, I'm knocking on wood. Everything should be good now from here on out. You guys have, as you've talked to us about the tight protocols and everything, it's kind of its own bubble. So yeah, we should be good for game time tomorrow morning.
We should be good for game time, and you know, we're here. We're in the hotels. We're ready to rock and roll, so I know our guys are just excited to get out there and play. And not being able to play in this tournament last year, a lot of those guys are back and just getting a chance to get out on that court and go play. That's a pretty big deal. So we're going to go give it the best effort, and we feel good about it, but one day at a time.
Well, and I think it's unique. You and I were talking about this too. Bodie Hume, I mean, it feels like he's been with the program now a while. It goes by fast, but this is only his second Big Sky Conference tournament because of the way things went down last year, and that's kind of bizarre to think of it that way.
It is bizarre. We didn't have one last year, and obviously, you know, we were the 2 seed last year. We had a bye. We had a great kind of look at the bracket. But the year before, we were 2 seed. You know, in Bodie's first one, Bodie, Sam, Matt, those guys, we were the 2 seed, and the 7 seed came in and just, which was Southern Utah at the time, and just beat us bad. So again, the seeding thing. Sometimes having a bye is great. Sometimes it's not good. You know, I know the year that we made a big run when Coach Linder was here, and the year that we won that CIT. We were the 5 seed, and back then only 4 got a bye, so we didn't get a bye. We were a 5 seed in that tournament. We played the 12, which I believe was NAU, beat them pretty bad, and then we played a Weber State team the next day, seeded higher than us, and had beaten us twice during the regular season, and you know we beat them bad. So sometimes if you can get through the first one, which is not going to be easy, but if you get through this first one, we'll see how it goes from here. But again, just kind of focus on that one game at a time.
Yeah, we're pumped, man. Can't wait, Coach. Best of luck to you and your squad, and we'll look forward to it tomorrow morning.
All right, Brady, appreciate you.
All right, man. That's Coach Steve Smiley there in Boise, ready to lock and load. I do want to point this out, Colfax. As far as the postseason goes for the Bears, it is NCAA tournament or bust. The NIT is an invite only, and they're only going with at large. So if you earn in now, you're not getting in. So there's no amount of wins that you could earn, at least at this stage. So that's not going to be an option for the Bears because they don't have the record for that. CBI, it is a 16-team event in Florida that the Bears have passed on. So 16 teams are there. That's it that the Bears have just decided to, you know, it's probably not worth it. I've always talked about that. The CIT, they flat out canceled due to COVID. So for the Bears, tomorrow morning, hopefully not, but it could potentially be their final game of the season. If they win that, they'll move on to play the number one team, at least as far as the rankings go in the Big Sky, against Southern Utah. And that game would actually be during our program on Thursday. So happy to step aside if that means the Bears are playing in another round. 20 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It is Top Text Tuesday. Load up those texts. Let's get it going. I got a David Thompson, signed David Thompson jersey, thanks to Fresh Coat Painters South Platte. It is beautiful. They got it in the frame. I told you they would. It looks fantastic. You can see the pictures on our social media pages. I'll read some of your texts coming back. Let's see where you guys are. Load it up. Bring your takes. 20 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'll be right back.
Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Glad you can be with us here. If you want to get involved in the Top Text Tuesday action, pretty good ones in that first hour. See if you guys can load it up here. I'm still liking our Bitcoin friend. Still thinking that that's a leader in the clubhouse. So Dixon, not bad. Couple of guys, not bad. Pete's in that mix too. I know McLean's rolling, so get Eastside Chris is hanging in. Okay, just fire up a few texts. There's a few I haven't read yet, a few that I probably won't read. But you guys can text us 970-478-1301. Text KFKA to that number, 970-478-1301. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day, and we've kind of been breaking through this, but do you think the Broncos should just say, hey, we're going to ask you for a pay cut, Vaughn? And the risk is knowing he would say no, thinking he would say no, then you have to move on. Or do you just say, no, you know what? We're going to play out this year. And if he earns it, we can re-sign him or try to. If not, we part ways. So go vote at that one at thewholeshow.com. Colfax, a little breaking news today on this Tuesday. As far as the Rockies are concerned. Colorado Rockies received variance to host 21,000 fans. It went from, 12,000 fans? Was that 2 weeks ago? To 21,000 fans. The Colorado Rockies have been working closely with the state of Colorado and Major League Baseball to develop a plan to accommodate additional fans at Coors Field. As conditions continue to improve, the Rockies announced today that the state has approved the outdoor facility for a 42.6% capacity variance beginning opening day, April 1st. So, they're 21,363 of 50,144. This is an increase to the previous approval. Okay, so it was 12,005. To create a safe and healthy experience for fans, players, and staff, the Rockies have implemented all required Colorado Department of Health and Environment. Yeah, there you go. So you're going to have opportunities to go to Rockies games, and we almost doubled that up in the last 2 weeks. We've got that story fully available at thewholeshow.com. All right, thoughts here. You know, UNC is interesting. This Bears team. And we haven't got to see this group fully intact in a while, and you know what, Colfax, they've won one time. At Weber State. One time. That was last year. And Weber State's a good team this year. They are the second best team in the conference. Coach Smiley thinks maybe that's the best team in the conference, talking to him outside of the show. The Bears lost to free throws at the end. That's how tight this thing was. So on the Bears' best day, remember what they did with Utah State, a very good Mountain West Conference team. They battled back and forth with that team. In fact, they had the lead quite a few times there. But as the Bears have kind of gotten into this habit, or at least earlier in the season, they drop it. Six minutes left, something goes wrong, they just can't hold on to a lead, and then they can never really get it back. We've seen that. We've seen that with the Utah States. We've seen that with mediocre Big Sky teams. But at their best, they can go toe-to-toe with pretty damn good teams like Utah State. Pretty damn good teams like Weber State. So can the Bears pull off? Listen, they got to get through Sac State tomorrow morning. I have them winning that. I wasn't so sure about the Southern Utah game, but, I mean, if you can get past that team, suddenly it becomes a realistic possibility that you could do the unthinkable. So first things first, but at the beginning of the season, I looked at this Bears team and I thought, man, this could be a really good team. They're going to be without Jonah Radabaugh. They're going to be without Kai Edwards. And of course, transition from Steve Smiley, from Jeff Linder to Steve Smiley. And, you know, I don't know that the coach transition has really been the issue. Maybe because he's a new coach, a new head coach for this program, and you had so many weird issues. But would Jeff Linder have had the same problems? Again, you're replacing two really great basketball players in Jonah Radabaugh and Kai Edwards. So you're replacing those two guys, plus COVID, plus the coach. So it was a perfect storm, and that's been the case for a lot of teams in the country. It just so happens the Bears were one of those teams. When you look at CSU, you know, they have their coach going into his third year, all right, so they're used to him. They got the program kind of set there. Okay, Nico Carvacho, who was a stud, but let's face it, when you looked at the numbers last year, David Roddy and Isaiah Stevens stormed onto the scene to be overall the top players on that team. Nico Carvacho, don't get me wrong, was a loss. You put him on this team this year, man, I don't know that the Rams lose. Because that's kind of what they were missing, was just another big presence, another rebounding type player. So the Rams at least had that. You go to Tad Boyle, all right, you still got your guys. You lost a few, but you've still got McKinley Wright. You still got a lot of guys you're happy with on this crew. So when you look around locally, and I'm not trying to make an excuse. I'm just telling you what it is. This Bears team wasn't able to take hold at any point, really, this season. As soon as they'd get going, bam, something shut them down. Just like the weekend. They think they're going to get two warm-up games before the tournament. They only get one because Weber State suddenly has COVID issues. So it's something that just continued to happen over and over. And again, I'll say it a bazillion times, it happens all over the country. But some teams, I think it affects more than others, especially teams in the situation that the Bears are in. So I don't know that I'm going to listen. I want to see how tomorrow goes. I want to see how tomorrow goes. And if the Bears can win that game decidedly, and maybe I change my pick to that if they can advance to Thursday. We'll see. But what I'm saying is I won't be shocked. And I don't know, man. If you're Bodie Hume, that's a great point by Coach Smiley that maybe the numbers aren't there. The point totals aren't there. His free throws, he really struggled from the free throw line this year. If those struggles aren't there, he's probably back up to that average, and maybe we're talking about him contending for the Big Sky Player of the Year, but he just struggled from the free throw line. But he's doing a lot of other things right. His defense has gotten better. And you see that when you just sit down and you watch some of these games. And again, I want to remind you, if you're out and about, we got you covered, 1310 KFKA. Our broadcast is also heard on Pluto TV. So if you go there, Pluto TV, it's a free application. You go there, there's a bunch of weird channels all over the place. Sometimes there's decent movies on there, Colfax. You go there, then you go scroll down all the way to the bottom and get to sports. You'll find UNC and Sacramento State. Our broadcast will be airing on that game. All right, 32 minutes after the hour, Colfax. Let's jump out of here. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
B-Rad says, are there even 21,000 fans left? They're going to sell 21,000 tickets, Colfax, right? They'll get to that number. If they're saying 21,000, I just think that are there some that are boycotting this? Are there some that are really big Rockies fans? Maybe you're tired of it. I think the Trevor Story thing, though, again, if they can't get this done, then you have to step back and go, what are we doing here? And do we just call it what it is? I go to Rockies games for other things than baseball. But you're still supporting it. Well, it doesn't matter because there's going to be enough casual fans that'll go. As soon as the diehards stop going, they'll lower the price a little bit, and then everybody else will start going. Dude, I know people growing up, everybody wanted to go to Rockies games. There's a lot of that at Broncos games, too. There's casual fans that go to games. And with the Rockies, it's not going to go. This is not realistic. It's not going to happen. There's always going to be people that go. However, if you're a diehard Rockies fan and you're still trying to hold out, I can see why you'd be frustrated with the Trevor Story deal. I can make the case here that it wasn't going to work. I think we kind of agree. Most of you are hung up on the whole $50 million thing. And the fact that you didn't get anybody that we know. We don't know any of these names. At least for now. And I appreciate that. I understand it. I'm right there with you. But at the end of the day, Nolan determined that this club wasn't doing enough to build around him. That the John Grays and the Charlie Blackmans and, I mean, the Ryan McMahon, the rest of the squad, I mean, they weren't ultimately good enough. Trevor Story's probably the only one that would meet his, or you know, Marquez, okay. But that was, at the end of the day, he determined it wasn't good enough, what they were doing, and wanted to go. Story, on the other hand, hasn't really done anything like that. He's in his contract year. And the Rockies and Nolan Arenado created this agreement. You thought it was going to, you know, listen, they did a 3-year opt out. They signed an 8-year deal, 3-year opt out. There's a reason for that. Somebody somewhere looked at it and went, there might be a time where we cross paths and we go, I don't like how the other one's handling this. Maybe we don't like how you're playing, Nolan. Maybe you don't like what we're doing. We're going to give you the opt out. Well, Nolan didn't get to that opt-out. The Rockies trade. Well, Brady, why didn't they just keep Nolan for the one more year? And enjoy that circus for one more full year? I don't think so. It didn't seem plausible to me. This team, listen, they could go on and do the unthinkable and prove everybody wrong. Great. Neato. But if you didn't think they were if you don't think they're a playoff team now, they weren't going to be a playoff team with Nolan. Is that fair to say? A third baseman that is an amazing hitter. I get that. One guy's not going to elevate you that much in baseball, in the sport of baseball. You know, again, you got two or three of those guys that are crazy, crazy good with the bat. And then, you know, you have your key positions in third base, shortstop. You know, you got a couple of solid pitchers, too. That's always been the big issue. That's going to continue to be the issue for the Rockies. Now, I'm not saying that this program is handled well, or this team has been handled well, this franchise. No, it's been completely botched. But I just have a hard time believing that if 21,000 tickets are available, 21,000 people in the state of Colorado aren't going to be there. And it doesn't matter if Rockies fans are not. They're going to sell tickets. Brady, that's the problem. That's why. Sure. If you're showing support for that and there's not a lot of pressure to improve the team, okay, maybe. But I don't know. I know the whole Nolan thing was completely botched. It was from day one. You know, with it, whether or not, I just feel like they could have had a better conversation. My guess is Breidich was just Breidich, and Nolan couldn't get over that hump. Because I wonder if they could have shown him a play. Hey, here's what we're going to be trying to do this next year. But we knew they weren't going to do anything this year. We knew that. We knew that with or without Nolan. But they didn't make the playoffs last year. They were so far from it that I said that at the beginning of the season. I said if the Rockies don't go to the playoffs, they are not, or Nolan's not going to be with this team. Didn't feel like it. Dear Brady, the Broncos need to pay Vaughn his money. He may not have really been producing on the field, but he sure knows how to throw one hell of a Halloween party. Signed, Chad Kelly. Yeah.
It's all right.
It's not bad.
Throwback.
It's not bad. He does throw a good Halloween party. He throws the kind of Halloween parties where you don't even know where you live. You know, it's that good. Those parties are so damn good, you don't even know where you live. You think you live in an apartment when you're like, wait a second, I'm an NFL player. I don't live here. This tiny little couch and this tiny little TV, that's not mine. I guess I should get out of here. Wait, that's not my wife. That's damn sure not my baby. Should probably leave.
It's not my vacuum either.
It was a weird time. But that was dumb that Vaughn got blamed for that.
That was so stupid.
So if you throw a party and I come to the party and I get schnockered and I leave and get into trouble, that's your fault? How? No. How's that your fault? So if I go to the bar and I drink and I get hammered and I leave and I go do something stupid, that's the bar's fault? Brady should have been looking out for him. Is that his child? He's a grown man. If you need me to look out for you, you're going to get into trouble somewhere else in your life. Now, if you would have said, for some stupid reason, you know, he's like a guy that's had a lot of issues. Now, I don't know if he had a lot of these serious issues, but that's not on Vaughn. So you can't throw parties anymore? Come on. That whole thing was just jacked. That was a weird time in Broncos country, man. Everybody was so mad at Vaughn after that whole deal. They were so mad. And that Emmanuel Sanders was wearing he was dressed as Chappelle.
That's right.
Wasn't it Sanders dressed as Chappelle with the cocaine character that he does? People
so
were offended.
It was a Coke party.
It was a Coke party. I'm like, he's dressed as Dave Chappelle.
It's a costume.
It's a costume party, and it's funny. Oh, boy. No. Yeah, sorry to get off on that. Dixon started it. That's a pretty good Top Text Tuesday. Not too bad.
Absolutely.
Good text coming in, rolling in. If you want to text the program, 970-478-1301. 970-478-1301. What do you think that conversation was yesterday? Von Miller stops by. Do you think that was hey, I don't have to worry about the legal ramifications anymore. That's off the weight's off my shoulders. I'm going to stop by. They said he wanted to stop by, see players, coaches, and of course, guys like George Payton. Well, there's not many players there at the facility. It's not like they're all just hanging out over there, Colfax.
They all just live there.
So he went there. I would imagine the number one purpose is to go there to shake George Payton's hand. Or can you do that? I don't know. You can wave at him from far away.
Elbows.
Yeah. But I would guess that was there, which I think is a good move. It's an integrity move. It's, hey, I got to come in, respect the boss. I know his social media is constantly a big rumor mill for all of us to dissect, but I would imagine when I just hear that Von Miller is there at the facility, because you can handle all your negotiations via agent, via phone, via email, via all that. You don't even need to do this. So I like the fact that Von went there. Now, again, this all comes down to it. Do you want to see the Broncos force his hand, ask him to take a pay cut, or just take the last year and move on? You don't have to sign him to a long-term deal. You take the hit this year, but after that, you're clear and free. I mean, is there a part of you that thinks, you know, maybe the Broncos owe it to him? You know, you just kind of like Philip Lindsay. I'm hearing Terrell Davis talk about Philip Lindsay yesterday, saying the Broncos got to do right by him. Last year, I would have said that. This year doesn't make much sense. Vaughn will zero production because he was hurt. Do you want to see? That's the first question. Do you want Von Miller on this roster anymore?
If he can hold his weight, yes.
And so you got to be willing to take that gamble, right?
You are, this year for sure.
And so you're more or less, hey, I mean, I'm not going to do it for 18. I got to get you down to 15. So $3 million, which I mean, something can be something, because if you take $6 million, you know, and then suddenly you saved $3 million on Vaughn's contract. You could take that and you have $9 million. You got another player out of that deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we were doing the math yesterday and we got down to like 18, well, suddenly you got $3 million, you jump up, and now that comes out to being, all right, we can actually pay a really good player in free agency. Or we can just hold on to that, you know, and if they do make some trades, and being able to absorb those contracts makes it a little bit easier. But that's the first question, is do you want Von Miller to play for the Broncos? Does he have enough? When Peyton Manning was done, we could all tell. I mean, it was done. So there wasn't really a question anymore of pay cuts. That wasn't there. That was, you can't play the game anymore. I don't want to say, it sounds like blasphemy here, but Manning is not an NFL quarterback anymore at that point. So that's the first question. With Peyton Manning, his time was done, you could tell. Is Von Miller done? Does he still have gas in the tank?
Absolutely.
So he's still got something.
Absolutely.
So then the question is, first off, do you want him here? Yes. I think we both want him here. Then you have to determine, all right, are we going to pay him you know, 5 years ago, what was, you know, semi-average to top quarterback money, which is not quarterback money anymore. Dak Prescott will tell you that that's not quarterback money anymore. But, dude, looking at the numbers, J.J. Watt, Von Miller's numbers are way better than J.J. Watt's as far as the last 5 years go. And Watt hasn't played, you know, he played two full seasons in the last 5 years. Two full seasons in the last 5 years. In 2016, he played three games. In 2017, he played five games. 18, he played the full year. 19, he played half the year. 20, he played the full year. And that guy just went out and got 15 and a half. Vaughn's worth more than 15 and a half. If J.J. Watt's making 15 and a half, Von Miller is making more than that. Whether it's $1 million more, whatever, he's worth more than that. His numbers are better overall. Not much, but they are better. But as far as staying power on the field, Vaughn's is much better. And the past 5 years, his stats have been so much better. J.J. Watt's stats look great. He had two 20-sack seasons, two of them. That stacks up pretty quickly. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to TV closing thoughts. We're already ready to wrap up. Top Text Tuesday, fire off those last-second texts, and we'll get them going here, and we'll find our winner for today. Is McLean going to take home the David Thompson signed jersey? We'll find out next.
Think your bracket can win it all? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge and hear the latest in hoops on 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Don't forget, tonight's a busy night here on 1310 KFKA. We've got Inside the Bears Den with Jason Alvin starting at 6 o'clock, goes 6 to 7 o'clock. He'll be breaking down, I believe, both men's and women's side of the Big Sky Conference tournament. So we're looking forward to that rundown. Right after that program, again, 6 to 7 Inside the Bears Den, we have Preps Radio action. University and Highland going at it at 7 o'clock. We're in that postseason time of year, so it's a great time. It's perfect. We're talking postseason college basketball at 6, and then we're getting set for a postseason basketball game as far as high school goes. Don't forget tomorrow morning, 8:30 pregame show. The UNC Bears get set to take on Sacramento State in that first round of the Big Sky Conference tournament. Colfax, we got to crown a winner, and you know what, man. Sometimes it's that opening home run, that first home run that gets the job done.
The old Bitcoin.
The old Bitcoin. The new texter today. Bitcoin, I liked it. Took my brain a while to get around it, but I liked it. You win today. Two more of those, and you get the David Thompson jersey. We'll see if the newcomer comes back to play next week. McLean has two. B-Rad has one. Bitcoin guy sitting at one as well. Things are heating up on Top Text Tuesday. Thanks for playing. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Good night, Northern Colorado.